Welcome to the fifth week of our series for the season of Lent. We're calling it Believe and Receive. Jesus once said, "All that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours." And so in this series, we're taking a deep dive into the power of prayer. And so far, we've said that God wants us to pray with possibility. Believe that he can do all things and nothing will be impossible for him. In week two, we said that we should also pray with perspective. See how our own situation, everything that we're going through in our lives, somehow is part of God's larger plan. 2 weeks ago, we talked about praying with purity, having the right intentions, the right desires in our hearts when we pray. And then last week was about praying dangerous, perilous prayers, prayers that put everything on the line, prayers that take a risk and rely on God's power to come through for us in big and unimaginable ways. And today I want to talk with you about pray through problems. A lot of people pray about their problems, and that's good. Scripture says that we should turn all of our worries, anxieties, and problems over to God. He wants to hear about our difficulties, the hardships we're going through, the obstacles we face. One of the great benefits of prayer is knowing that the Most High God is with you in your pain, that he is close to you in those moments when your heart is broken. But we don't give God enough credit when we stop there, when we just pray about our problems. I'm telling you, we should pray through our problems. There's a difference. Praying through your problems recognizes that God is the master of the universe, that he has the power to change the situation, to turn every negative circumstance into a positive, every loss into a victory, every failure into a success. Praying through your problems acknowledges that God's desire is not only to console you in your affliction, but to actually bring you through to the other side of the pain, the loss, the bad breaks, the mistakes, the unfair situations. We all want comfort and consolation when things go wrong. But instead of just praying for the strength to endure a problem, why don't you ask God for a real breakthrough? When you pray through a problem, you're telling God that you believe that he has the power to right every wrong, to correct every mistake, to heal every disease, to break every addiction, to overturn every injustice, and to fight every battle. Anything that stands in the way of God's plan for you to have freedom and fulfillment in your life. When you pray through a problem, you're showing your great faith in God. This is what Jesus did on the cross. In the midst of the pain and the agony, he was desolate. He felt abandoned and he cried out in distress, but he also spoke words of hope and victory, of forgiveness and salvation, of the triumph that was on the way. Jesus put everything into the hands of the Father. He prayed through the problem, knowing that God would not let him down in the end, not leave his soul to the realm of the dead, but instead defeat sin and death, overcome the powers of darkness, roll away that enormous stone from the tomb, and raise him up on the third day. In our worst moments, this is how we should pray. We should pray through the problem. Pray through the problem. God, I trust you to take me to the other side, to victory in your name. The life of the Apostle Paul was not easy at all. He gave up comfort, security, power, and respect to preach the gospel of Christ. He was arrested many times, beaten many times, thrown into prison many times. He was attacked by mobs several times. He was exposed to the elements, suffered hunger and thirst, and went through many sleepless nights. In the second reading today, he tells us why he did it. He says it was all for the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. Knowing Christ Jesus the Lord, the power of his resurrection, to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. But here's the key. Paul explains in that second reading that he's not there yet, but he is on the way. He writes, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus." See, he doesn't get stuck in the pain and the suffering and the hardships. He saw what lay ahead. He kept his eye on the prize. He stayed focused on the reward that was waiting for him. And this is what happens when we pray through a problem. We keep our attention on the victory that is on the other side of loss, on triumph that is on the other side of defeat, on healing that is on the other side of affliction, problems, disease, illness, lack, shortage, or whatever we're facing. When I first felt God calling me to the priesthood, there were a lot of obstacles in the way. I was older than the usual age limit. It's above that age limit. I had lots of student loans from law school. I had tried several different careers in my past, didn't look good. And I was married, had a child. Everything about my background said this would not be a good fit. But I did what I'm telling you to do. Year after year, I kept praying through the problem. I saw beyond the doubt, the hesitation, the rejection from other people. Oh, they'll never take you. You have a checkered past. You've tried so many things in the past. They didn't work out. You can't stick with anything. Yes, I heard those things. But I kept believing that God would find a way, even where I could not see a way. I kept thinking about that scripture that says, God's own designs shall endure forever, the plans of his heart from age to age. And I knew that if God wanted me to serve in ministry, if this was his design, his plan for my life, then he would bring it to pass. Because God can overcome every obstacle, remove every roadblock, and take down every barrier. This is what the prophet Isaiah was saying to encourage the people in the first reading today. Generations earlier, they had been uprooted from their land, ripped away from everything they had known, and were forced to live over 500 miles away in the city of Babylon. They missed Jerusalem, the temple, their homes, the life they had once known. But Isaiah kept encouraging them to pray through the problem. In the first reading today, he reminded them of how God long ago helped their ancestors by opening a way in the seas and a path through the mighty waters when they were on the run from Egypt. He opened a way in the seas and a path through the mighty waters, and he rescued them. And Isaiah is saying that he could do that again. God can do that again. He can bring them home. The problem was the people in exile had grown cynical and disbelieving over the years. They thought, even if we were somehow allowed to go home, we would never make it. The journey would be too long. It would take over 4 months on foot in very harsh conditions. There was no water in the desert. No water in the desert. Wild beasts, jackals, and other wild beasts would attack their livestock. Everything about the journey would be wrong. There were even ostriches living in that region, strange creatures. But they are a symbol in the Bible of a barren, inhospitable, and hostile land. They didn't think they could make it. They would rather stay in exile. Everything about the journey was wrong. And maybe some of you today, or someone you love, feels that way. Like they're in exile. You know, stuck in a situation or a place they don't want to be, a loveless marriage that breaks their hearts, a job or career that drains their life force, their very life, crushes their soul, an illness that takes their energy, friends or family members who've suddenly shut them out, won't talk to them, or just a series of misfortunes and trials that kind of have added up to lock them into a place of isolation, anger, resentment, and regret. But look at what the prophet Isaiah says about God's power to overcome every obstacle. In that first reading, God says, in the desert, I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink. God was saying, hey, wild animals are no match for me. The lack of water in the desert, easily overcomable. And so in your own situation, don't get bogged down in the negative circumstances. Don't be like those people back in Babylon who lost hope, gave in to cynicism, resignation, despair. No, God has beauty for those ashes you're going through right now. God has beauty for those ashes. The Bible says, let the weak say they are strong. If you feel weak, say that you are strong. Scripture says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. God's blessings will overtake you. His favor lasts a lifetime. When you trust in God and pray through the problem, he will bring you to the other side. You may be facing some unfair situations right now, things you don't deserve, problems you didn't create. You were a good parent, but now your child is hanging out, running with the wrong crowd, making bad decisions, getting into trouble. You were faithful and gave everything to that marriage, but still your spouse walked away. You were loyal to the company, but they let you go. What you're going through is the result of the selfishness and dishonesty of other people. And this is what I think happened to the woman in the gospel story for today. It was early in the morning, just after sunrise, the coolest part of the day in that desert climate of Jerusalem. And Jesus came down to the temple area to teach people hungry for the word of God. But soon, religious leaders, jealous of his success, interrupted him. They had conspired and hatched a plan to take Jesus down. They wanted him out of the picture, gone forever. And they did not hesitate to use a powerless, vulnerable woman to get what they wanted. They brought her to Jesus and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery." Now, back then, adultery was not just a private matter. It was considered a serious crime, a capital offense. You could be put to death for it. But the law required at least two witnesses to any kind of serious crime before someone could be put to death. So my question is, where were the witnesses in this story? Where was the jealous husband? How did the religious leaders know that she had committed this act? Were they peeping through the windows? Under the law, witnesses to a very serious crime were required to be the first people to throw stones, to actually begin the process of execution. It would be like today, if a witness in a murder trial and the person was convicted, that witness would be forced to flip the switch on the electric chair. If they had lied about their testimony, they would have blood on their hands. And that's why Jesus said to the religious leaders, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." He knew that if the scribes and the Pharisees had concocted the whole thing, made it up, exaggerated the situation for their own political gain, you know, to discredit Jesus somehow, that they would not go so far as to commit murder, to condemn an innocent woman to die, something for which they themselves could be put to death. And Jesus was right. He called their bluff, and one by one, they all walked away. Now, of course, we don't know, we'll never know what exactly happened, but even if the woman had done what they said she did, Jesus still found a way for her to experience freedom, forgiveness, and mercy. He said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Jesus responded to her and said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Whether you're an innocent victim or you've mishandled some situations, compromised your integrity and values, brought the circumstances on yourself, God always makes a way. He always has a plan. I love that scripture passage. The favors of the Lord are not exhausted. His mercies are not spent. They are renewed each morning. So great is his faithfulness. Our part is to pray through the problem. Don't get mired down in the situation, lose hope, complain about everything that's going on. Like Jesus, speak words of hope and victory. Like Paul, keep your eyes fixed on the reward that comes on the other side of the pain and the suffering. Like Isaiah, stay in faith. Believe that God can overcome every obstacle. Like the woman accused of adultery, God's merciful love and his strong right hand will bring you through the trouble. He will restore everything that you have lost and more through his mercy. Bring healing and wholeness to the situation through his grace. Defeat every enemy through his strength. Take down every stronghold and destroy every force that stands against you through his power. When you have the courage to pray through the problem.